Okay, we're back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We're speaking, I'm sorry, my co-host is David Linden.
Here I am.
who's still here. And we're speaking with Sandy Polinsky, who is a realtor and specializing in downsizing. And I just always have to make it very clear to listeners that the town of North Hempstead tries to bring what we feel are the best qualified people on the radio, but we do not endorse anybody because we don't confirm or deny anything with their qualifications. But Sandy is really offering us tremendous advice, and it's definitely worthy of listening to. We went into the break talking about multiple listing versus exclusive. And my only question was, with social media and Willow and these different things.
Zillow.
Oh, Zillow it is. Okay, Zillow. Does exclusive limit the exposure dramatically? Okay, somewhat is okay.
Sure.
I mean, I have you working, which is one thing, but the social media part of it.
It does.
Okay.
It definitely is not as broad and far-reaching as multiple listing is. And everybody's different. Again, it's very specialized and very personalized. So some sellers prefer, they don't want kind of the storm so
of people
quickly.
Coming in.
Yeah, especially seniors. They'd rather have a more controlled situation. So, what we can do is we can do a hybrid where we can start off as an exclusive and start it slow. And if they find that they've found the perfect buyer, then they don't have to live through what, would be considered their storm. And then if we find that, and again, there's a lot of feedback and conversation between they and I, and we could discuss it and say, maybe we should open this up to multiple listing, and are you ready for that? And, you've kept your house clean and your closets are tidy, and let's just do this. And most often, sellers do want to sell quickly because it's an inconvenience to open their home and keep things tidy and have people with, through this winter with sand on their shoes and trekking through the home. And so, again, it's a conversation, and there is no perfect shoe that fits every foot. So it's nice to offer options and various solutions depending upon each client.
Right, okay. And just also touching back to what you had said about selling a house over market, but then under what the bank would be willing to lend.
Even though
you have the offer, I'm offering $100,000, the bank is saying it's worth $75,000. How does that even come about?
Depends upon the buyer. It depends upon their terms. And back to David's earlier question, something that a for sale by owner may or may not be able to handle properly is how to handle the terms of an offering. So you're the buyer,
okay,
and you're offering $100,000, but it really is worth, based upon the comparables, $75,000.
Okay.
But you're putting down 50% loan to value on your mortgage. So the banks are going to look more favorably on that.
Okay.
And that's okay because they'll still approve that mortgage.
So
I'm going to analyze the terms. And there have been situations of recent that I've guided my sellers to take the lower number with more money down or a cash buyer, because of the scenario of that home. So it depends, again, on the home. For instance, I'm selling a house right now that's in estate.
Okay.
It's in disarray. It's got some physical challenges with the property itself. We are going to accept a cash purchaser, which is a lower number, than a mortgage purchaser, which is a higher number, because it will get, if you bring a bank appraiser in, it might pose some challenges again,
okay,
and create an obstacle. So again, depending upon the property, the sellers, the situation will determine that, and that's where experience matters.
These are you're given all the reasons I had asked earlier about people who want figure it's so easy to sell the house for themselves. No, it isn't. It's a minefield.
It is a minefield. It's very well put.
No, but now that, and you cleared it up very nicely, and that is the importance of using somebody because, 9 out of 10 people say 100,000 makes more sense than 95.
Sure.
Well, why would you take the 95? But you're explaining.
Yes.
100 could fall through the cracks, and 6 months from now,
you're
I can still have that house.
And it'll shoot you in the foot.
Right,
and
right.
You can miss a great market where there are buyers and the inventory is low and you want to capture those buyers, and those buyers have gone on to other properties at that point because you blew it. So It's all about strategy.
Now, do you also work with mortgage brokers / banks to help the buyer, or they're on their own? So, like, good luck at a mortgage.
I help them with every aspect of every inch of this house. From the minute they meet with me and they decide to work with me, I have a enormous, far-reaching phone, which used to be a Rolodex, but it's no longer a Rolodex, phone with contacts and connections and resources from movers, from bank mortgage brokers. And part of, back to the terms of it, is when a buyer walks in, I want to see their pre-approval from a lender. I want to know what their terms are before they present an offer.
Okay.
It's all about learning who the buyer is before determining who essentially signs that contract.
Now, is that big today, pre-approval?
It's huge.
Oh, really?
And there's a difference between a pre-qualification and a pre-approval. And you certainly should speak with a mortgage broker about that and have them on your show if you want. I can help you with that. But a pre-qualification doesn't really check their assets. A pre-approval does. They're actually digging into your credit, and they're really looking in to make sure that you have the financial wherewithal to get the transaction closed.
So pre-approval, assuming I'm looking at a house, I can get pre-approved, say, up to $100,000.
It depends on your income.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
So therefore,
I know if I'm looking at a house that's going to require two, you would say, listen, John, why are you looking at this? You're never going to get the money.
A buyer should speak with a mortgage banker, mortgage lender, whatever they choose to, before meeting with me.
Okay.
They should know how much, you know, it's like going shopping without knowing how much money is in your wallet.
Okay. Yeah. And years ago, of course, that wasn't. You found the house and you could get the mortgage because everything was different.
And it put us in kind of a quandary.
Yep.
So the lenders are becoming much more particular about the properties they lend on.
Okay.
And it's all part of the big picture of putting it all the right parts and pieces into getting the transaction to the closing table. And that's the goal.
Yes. You're going to your question?
Yes, it does. One we talked about before. Newsday has been running a series on zombie houses.
I saw the headlines. I can't say I read it. What did they say, David?
They're talking about, it seems to be more in Suffolk than in Nassau, but houses that have been foreclosed or the owners have walked away from it because they can't do it. And the house is sitting there empty, going into disrepair, squatters moving in, and then you've got the poor neighbors around who are living with this monster. How does that affect the buying and selling of houses?
Well, I guess if you're the neighbor next door, it's a bit of an issue. However, in the town of North Hempstead, I know there are, there's some in the towns were mentioned. It affects everybody's values. Just like if you make your house a McMansion and it's larger than everybody else's, sure, it's good for the neighborhood. And on the flip side of that, if somebody's got a zombie house, it's a negative scab on the neighborhood. Mm. It depends upon, again, the scenario of who owns that house or who's responsible for that house. And I think that's what they're trying to get to, is whose responsibility is it to, I know there should be property managers in place to maintain those properties and cut the lawn, shovel the snow and whatnot. But, it's a problem.
No.
It's no different than a beautiful house in the neighborhood, which everybody's thrilled to have.
Sure.
Actually, I had one across the street from my house. Just totally fell apart. And it was back in the day when the bank finally took over. There was an $840,000 mortgage on the house.
Oof.
Just kept increasing. We went inside the house. It was like a bond. And it wound up, and the bank, thinking they're going to get the money, kept it for 2 years trying to get. And they finally sold the house in the fives. And it had to be gutted and rebuilt, et cetera.
Builders love those opportunities.
Of course, but the bank didn't want to give in. And it's like, nobody's going to give you $850,000 for this thing now. It's a $1.1 million neighborhood. I mean, it's whatever. But they sat on it.
I guess what happens is it's similar to the scenario I ran before where I have this home that's in disarray. Oftentimes, investors love that, and I work with a lot of builders and investors, and they will jump on that opportunity, and those tend to be cash buyers.
Right.
Therefore,
right.
They'll kind of skip the whole process. They'll buy it at a discount, and they need to buy it at a discount.
Of course.
So they can have the margins to put the time, money, energy in, carrying costs, taxes, and then flip it, and, then they can make some profit, certainly, and increase the entire neighborhood's profile.
Right. It's very difficult. The point is, you know, everybody thinks, you had mentioned that, you know, nails of gold.
Your
neighbor sold a house for $100,000. I'm making up $100,000. And you say, if he got $100,000, I can. But you're not paying attention that he just put in 3 new bathrooms and maybe a new kitchen in the last 5 years. And yours is 40 years old. Identical houses. Not
correct.
When you open the
on
door.
The outside.
Correct.
Right, and you have to be very cognizant of that. People just, you know,
but people,
they don't.
People will say to me, hey, Sandy, you know, should I redo my bathroom before I put my house on the market? My answer is no.
Right, at that point.
No. You know, sell it for what it's worth currently, and you may put in a green bathroom, and the new buyer may want it to be blue.
Right.
So don't put money into a home you're going to be leaving, and tidy it up, and, you know, let's discuss curb appeal, and let's discuss, you know, cleaning up your closets a little
staging.
Bit.
Just, you know, we're going to be
not so much.
No. We're going to be coming to an end. Sandy, what I didn't do is give out your phone number.
Oh.
What is it?
The best way to reach
the best
me
way to
is
get you.
On my cell phone.
Okay.
And I'm happy to run any questions and
okay.
answers past anybody. 917-733-3059.
Okay. To get Sandy Polinsky at 917-733-3059. And she just said she'll answer any questions. I think you've given us tremendous guidance for people looking to downsize, to sell their home, or even for adult children who have to sell a home after, you know, unfortunately, mom and dad have both passed on.
Yeah.
I thank you so much for all your information today. Yes. You've been listening to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We'll be right back.
Thank you.